The following message is from New Life Gillette series, Cap Your Comfort. Guest speaker Isaac Smith presents part one of this series.
Well, good morning and thank you. It's a good morning, isn't it? I remember when St. Patrick's Day was in the springtime of the year. But we'll take it when it comes. It's awesome to be with you, gather with you. I love the way you worship. I get to go to a different church about every weekend, and I always love it when I'm here. I just love the way you guys worship and love what God is doing. I love the emphasis that was just given to you about gathering in small groups. I think it's exciting, pretty much any expression of church life. That's my favorite. I love to be part of small groups. Now I'm going to challenge that. Here's the deal. If you've ever been to church over twice or visited a website, you have heard and seen words like welcome, home, gather, join, group, connect, community. If you hang around a while, you'll hear a word like fellowship, which is Christianese for hanging out. You will hear all of these wonderful words, friends, family. We connect with those. And many of those words are very solid biblical words and very solid biblical concepts. And I'm not dissing on them. I just gave a promo again for your small group. So I'm just telling you, I'm all over that. I just want to challenge us that they're incomplete. Now, they're very, very good words. They're culturally relevant. Let me give you an example. Back in the 1980s, there was a survey given, and one of the questions asked was, how many close friends do you have? The definition of close friend was someone with whom you can share your deepest fears, anxieties, joys. You trust them. You're comfortable. That's a close friend. In the 1980s, when that question was asked, that survey was given, the most common number of a response was 5. That same survey was given again in 2017. That same question was asked, that same definition was given, and the most common number was 0. Nada. Wow. That's heartbreaking, really. In a day and age where most of us carry with us a device that allows us to connect with a gazillion people, as a culture, we are more isolated and lonely than maybe we've ever been. So the words I just mentioned, come, gather, join, connect, community, group, all of those words are culturally relevant and very needed today. Hello? Absolutely. Let's acknowledge something else, too. They're pretty good marketing. And part of that is because those are comfort food words.
Ooh, I like comfort food.
You with me? So I'm going to toss one out that's not such comfort food. I want to jar that a little bit. I want to talk to you about the words of being sent. Go. You seldom hear from a church. You often hear from a church. We did today. Glad you're here. It's great you made it. You seldom hear from a church. Get out of here. Right? I might bring that out this morning. Who knows? But I'm just saying, you seldom hear that because we want this message of inclusion and gathering. But God says, oh, yeah, I'm all into that. I'm all into that. But that's not it yet. That's half of a circle. See, sometimes we form closed loop systems. Families don't function well like that. Churches don't function well like that. You don't function well like that. So let's go back to the beginning. This whole idea of not only coming and gathering, but sending needs to be part of our vocabulary and needs to be part of our understanding. God is a sending God. God the Father sent His Son, Christ Jesus, into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. God is a sending God. In the Bible, in the book of John, Jesus says 40 times, He says, I was sent. I was sent. I want to read you a passage from John chapter 20 and verse 21. And here it is. Jesus is saying, peace be with you. as the Father has, try it again, as the Father has, thank you, sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me. 40 times he says, I was sent. God is a sending God. But wait a minute, it doesn't just stop there. Jesus, a little while before he's going to leave us, he was hanging out with his disciples for about 3 years, and they'd traveled together and camped out together and ministered together and done amazing things together. And Jesus is saying, before very long, I'm going to go up. They're going to torture me and kill me. I'm going to actually die. Don't despair. I'm going to come back. In 3 days, I'll be back to life again. I'll hang out with you briefly, and then I'm going to heaven. I'm going to spend that time. I'm going to pray for you. But he says, don't despair, because when I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to live with you. In fact, Jesus says, this will be better because I've been with you. He's going to be in you. And Jesus says, you do greater works than I've ever been able to do because he's with you. He'll purify you. He'll empower you. He'll gift you. He'll comfort you. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. The Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit, will be within you and just overflowing you. That's the ideal Christian life, Jesus is saying. God is ascending God. The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Spirit. And we just read, Jesus said, I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So here's the deal. We're not only to come and gather and join. We're not only to learn and grow as Christ followers. We're supposed to be sent as well. Notice this. One of God's first commands to humankind is, be fruitful and multiply. Please be aware it's not an either-or statement. It's a both-and statement. God didn't say, I want you to be fruitful or multiply. No, he said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Let me make that simple. Make babies and teach your babies to make babies. And oh, by the way, if you don't teach your babies to make babies, they'll usually figure it out. It's worked. On a macro scale, this has worked, right? Our planet is populated. Some would say overpopulated. We have lots of babies. And if you come to New Life Church, you look around and say, it's working. Man, you guys have got kids. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Amen? See, it's working. Wait a minute. Fast forward now. And in the New Testament, Jesus is calling disciples, and he says to them, come follow me. That, by the way, is the definition of discipleship. We tend to overcomplicate it. It's a disciple is a follower. Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You come follow me and you will become a disciple maker. You follow me and you'll become a disciple maker to all of humankind. Follow me. Notice again, it is not an either or. Follow me or become a fisher of men. It is a both and. Follow me, and it is a natural consequence that you will be a fisher of men. In fact, it could be well said in Scripture, from Scripture, that if you have not made a disciple, you're not yet fully a disciple. Some of you have been on a long journey. See, the Bible does not equate being a disciple with being an expert in Bible trivia. By the way, I can take you on. I've been doing this for a while. That doesn't make me a disciple because I have an amazing amount of Bible knowledge, right? The Bible doesn't say that you're a disciple because you show up at all the activities inclusive. The Bible says you're really a disciple when you become a fisher of men, when you become a disciple maker. That's one of the things that God is calling us to be. So I want us to look at that. First, I want to look on a macro scale. What does God call all disciples, all Christ followers to be? And then I want to be on a more customized individual scale. And I want to ask you 3 very specific questions about you being sent. But let's first of all talk about how we're all sent. And we're going to have on screen Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And I'd like for you to read that out loud with me. We'll just follow along and read this out loud together. This is known as the Great Commission passage. It is at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. It is perhaps the last words of Jesus on earth before he went back to heaven. And it is the overview for how God sends all of us. We'll talk about specific, but all of us fit under this umbrella of this passage. So I'd like for you just to read it and think about it. We'll not go too fast. Let's go. You ready? Then Jesus came to them and said, "And on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now just hold that up on screen a while. I want to read you something. Actually comes from John Stott. It relates to this. Here's what he says. "Jesus' authority on earth allows us to dare to go to all the nations. His authority in heaven gives us our only hope of success. And his presence with us leaves us no other choice." Wow. So he's saying to us, I have all authority. I'm commanding you to come gather. No. Now it's time to go. I'm commanding you to go and make disciples, enlist, recruit, evangelize, bring other people to become followers of Christ, make disciples of all nations, of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the inclusion. This is, I'm officially a part. I've been adopted. I'm part of the family. I'm in. And teach them then to live this out, to obey everything I've commanded you, including go make disciples. And I'm with you. I got you. I'm with you always. I'm with you forever. I'm with you. I got this. We're together in this to the very end of the age. I'm with you. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? See, that is for each Christ, every Christ follower, all of us together. We're all in this together. That's our commission. But I want to now ask you this precisely. You. I got three questions for you we'll talk about a bit. Number one, how are you sent? All of us are sent to do this, but we don't all have the same job. We're all members of the body. We do different stuff. How are you sent? Second one will be, where are you sent? The third one will be, to whom are you sent? So let's talk about that. Start with a how. How are you sent? Well, it helps to figure this out, to know, how's God wired you? How's God created you? How's God put you together? What gifts has God given you? There are tests that will help you with that. What talents and abilities has God given you? What opportunities has God given you? Where has God placed you? Where do you seem to be successful? Where do other people say, oh, wow, especially good and godly people, oh, wow, you should be doing this. Oh, wow, that's great. What lights your fires? What stirs your passions? What, when you're doing it, you go, yeah, I like that. What is it that brings you peace and joy and a sense that you're pleasing to God? When you do that, you go, ah, yeah, that's my sweet spot. How's God wired you? How's God sending you? Oh, by the way, let me tell you, that will shift at times. The macro picture that we read and studied together about God's calling to us to make disciples and baptize them and teach them and all that, that's a constant. That never goes away. That never shifts or changes. How you do that, how you do that. For instance, I'm old, like really old. Like I have rocks on my place that are younger than me. Not quite. But that's shifted. How God sends me now is different than how God sent me when I was 22. Right? See, my joints won't stand it anymore. That shifts. I know stuff I didn't know then. I can do some things I couldn't do then. There's a lot of stuff I can't do that I could do then. It doesn't balance out. I'm just telling you, it's different now. Are you with me? How God is sending you will shift. So this is an ongoing conversation to say, okay, God, how are you sending me now? How are you sending me now? How have you shaped me now? Let me just give you a hint that too often when we get pushed out of our comfort zone, Pastor, we whine about it instead of understanding that it may be a new open door for opportunity for us. Hello? Just over the last few months, I've been being pushed out of my comfort zone, and I did a bit of whining for a while, and now I'm embracing it as an opportunity to say, oh, guess what? This is now how God is sending me, which is different. You're tracking with me? So ask yourself that question. God, give me wisdom. It wouldn't hurt you to ask other people that you respect. How do you think God has wired me? How do you think God would be sending me? If you were God, don't get caught up with that thought. You're not. But if you were God and you were going to send me, what would that look like? Those are a great conversation starter. Have some of those questions. Let's go to the next one. Where is God sending you? Oh, that's fascinating. It could be that God's going to send some of you to Uganda. Probably not most of you. It just could be that God's going to send you to some place. Sometimes it is the how and the where. Sometimes it's one of those epiphany moments. God just sort of breaks in on your head somewhere and says, you need to go to this place. You need to do this. Confirm that, by the way. Does this make sense? Has God wired me this way? Does this door open? Do people affirm this? Does the church around me say, yep, that's a good idea? Or did I just have a really, really awful night? Was that God I heard, or what was that? And affirm that, but God makes sense, and it could be it's that moment. But more often, it is a gradual growing awareness, this is where God is taking me. Here's what I want to guarantee to you. I don't know exactly where it is that God may send you someday. You should be open to God doing that. But I do know this, He has sent you where you are right now. Whether that's a good place or not so good place, He sent you there. You're not an accident. My parents thought I was an oops. And here's the funny part of it. I have a brother who's 13 years younger than me. I remind him of this often, that if I'm an oops, guess what you are, man? I remember those conversations. I remember hearing, oh my goodness, this can't possibly be true. But it was. My parents, who were otherwise rather bright people, didn't have this all figured out some way or other. And they thought I was an oops and my brother was an unbelievable accident. But we weren't accidents. My parents, it seemed like, had some logistical issues, but God didn't. We were at accidents, not me. I'm here on purpose. My brother, now that's, no. He's not an accident either. We're on purpose. You're on purpose. God designed you to be you on purpose. God says, I knew you when you were being put together in your mother's womb. In fact, I knew you before that. I know who you are. I know how you're put together. I know how you're made. Now, I got to say, occasionally I've said to God, really, seriously, man, you couldn't have given me a little more of that, a little less of this? Come on, man. But God says, you're not an accident. You're on purpose. Some of the stuff that's happened to you in your life, God did not like, and God did not order. But none of it caught Him off guard. You are who you are, where you are on purpose. Got that? So where has God sent you? So that workplace that you just can't stand, you're sent. That family that's right now not a source of great joy for you, you're sent. You're sent. You are a sent person. Let me ask you the third question. To whom are you sent? This is much more specific. How are you sent? Pulls the picture of how's God wired you? What? How could God probably use you? Where would God probably call you? Where are you sent? Yeah, here and now, for right now. Could be that God's preparing me for something else. Probably got something out there for you. He may move me. He may send me somewhere else. To whom are you sent? You probably know those people already. To whom are you sent? Again, that will shift and grow. While you're thinking about that, let me tell you a story. A number of years ago, Esther and I were prompted by God and affirmed by God to leave what was a pretty thriving church to go rescue a little church that had been beat up, run over, and split and splintered down to about 30 people. And they were saying, "We think we're going to close. Would you please come and be our pastor?" It's a great recruiting tool. It was disastrous for us from a career move and financial move, but whatever, God worked that out well. So I'm not whining a bit, but it was tough. And we went there to be their pastor. And of course, a little church, they were just struggling to just keep their nose above water, and they couldn't pay us an adequate for our family. And so I got another job and wound up working for a company that had some background in metal fabrication. So I wound up working in a small manufacturing company, had about 40 employees, and doing metal fab work. And I well remember my first day on the job. That's always a little tense. And back in the day, and we had the old-fashioned time clock kind of thing. Maybe some of you still do that. I don't know. Anyway, I got there, you know, first day on the job, so you're going to be a little early, right? You got to make a good impression your first day. And so I'm there 5 minutes early or whatever and clock in. Really, that's the kind of noise it made. And there was a guy right behind me who was several years older than me at the time, and he did the thing too. So first day, and you want to kind of be nice and whatever, you know. And so I said to him, "Good morning." Now give me some feedback. Did that sound nice and friendly? Because that's the best I got. Okay, I did that. "Good morning." And I got a sideways glance. And he said, "Yeah, what's good about it?" Now, first of all, I got to say, if that's your response, please get some new material. That one's old, and it never was good. So I thought, well, hello. Welcome. And went on my way. I'm not all that sensitive, so I wasn't hurt, but later on the day, the guy that I was partnered up with said, "So I saw you had a conversation with," and I want to protect the guy's privacy, so I'll just call him Mike. He said, "I saw you had a conversation with Mike." And I said, "Well, I wouldn't exactly call it a conversation, but each of us had a couple words, yeah?" He said, "Well, that's probably the last you'll ever hear from him." He said, "We assume that he had some massive tragedy in his life a long time ago. He, of course, won't say anything about it. We're not sure. But he is the quintessential grumpy old man. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He'll almost never say a word to you." And then he said this, "He just wants to be left alone." Now, I would love to tell you that I'm such a nice person, but my immediate thought was, "Aw, that can't happen. Poor guy. I really need to reach out to him. I'd love to tell you that, but I'm in church and I shouldn't lie like that." My immediate thought was this, "I can do that." I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, he just wants to be left alone. I'm thinking, I can do that. My plate's full. I got a life. I got lots of people in it. He wants to be left alone. Party on. I can do that. Has God ever interrupted you? Has God ever messed with you? God messes with me every once in a while. God messes with me that day. He's sort of like a thumb in my back and a whisper in the back of my head saying, no, you can't do that. You can't leave him alone. What you're going to do, God said, is you're going to engage with this guy. And you are going to open a door, at least a little, for him to see that I love him. And that I have something, I have joy for him. Now I'm first day on the job, a high learning curve, busy with lots of stuff. And yet I've got this track running in the back of my head. And I'm saying to God, "Seriously, have you met this guy too? I mean, you're supposed to know everything about everybody. So I'm assuming you know this guy. And that just seems like a lot of heavy lifting to me." And then God whispers back to me, "So when we do stuff together, who does most of the heavy lifting?" "Yeah, good point. Yeah, good point." And God said, "Just trust me on this. I'll help you. But you got to be engaged in this. This is your job. I'm sending you to this guy.
All righty then.
So I started working at it. He had a workspace clear down at the end of everybody. That wasn't an accident, I figured out. And he liked the isolation, so did everybody else. But I would make a practice. I'd just go past him. I'd see it, and I'd say, hi, good morning, and I got nothing. I got no twitch, no body language, no sideways glance, no eye contact, no words back, no nothing. Like, you just don't exist on the planet. Interesting. So I kept praying for him and praying for me that God would help me to figure this out somehow. And I kept going by. Then I'd go by and I'd just pause for a little bit. And I had a repertoire of a bunch of little jokes. And I can, trust me, be funny if I work at it. And I'd tell him jokes that were actually pretty good. Again, no twitch of the shoulders, no sideways glance, no change in body language, no change in facial expressions, no eye contact, no nothing.
Oh, boy, this is heavy lifting. Oh, boy.
So I kept praying about it. So I'm a few months in, actually, to working at this place. And by now, they're giving me more responsibility. And we got a new product, new project going on there. And they want me to kind of walk it through the whole system and help with creating it. And anyway, so I understood I've got to interact with this guy. He's got to actually interact with me. He gets paid. He has to do this. He's going to actually have to talk to me. He's not had a word since that first, what's good about it, morning. But he's actually going to do this because this is like a project we have. And so I set him up. I ambushed him. I just acknowledged that. I took this work project to him and I said, so here's the deal we're doing. And here's kind of, you've got to have to do this. Tell me, how would this work? How do you need this product to come to you to do the thing that you do to it? How's it going to come away from you? What needs to happen from your end? And so he got engaged with this project. And actually, we had a few paragraphs of words. Amazing. Monosyllables when he could, but he had to say like sentences and stuff. And I knew I had him off guard. And so I had prepared this one-liner that was hilarious. And I thought I had him off guard and off balance, and I zoom, zinged it in there. And he went, watch this, he went, half a smile, and then just like, I can't believe I did that. And I went away going, yes, yes, I got a whole half of a smile. And then hour or so later, we're at break time. We have long rectangular tables. He usually sits way down over here at the end, all by himself. But this time when I sit down, he's sitting right across from me, just staring at me like this. Oh, interesting. He said to me, you think you're something, don't you? I said, yes, I think I'm amazing. I'm like real good. Man, you're tough. You're about as tough as I've ever seen. I'm pretty sure I got a whole half a smile out of you. Yes, I think I'm awesome. And he just shook his head and said, why do you care? Ooh, I said, that's a phenomenal question. Here's why. So here's the deal. I'm a Jesus follower. And he lives with me. And he gives me unbelievable joy. Like, I have tough stuff too that happens in life, but he just gives me joy you wouldn't believe. I mean, sometimes it's more than I can handle. It just like overflows. And it's just amazing. It's awesome. And as I observe you, my guess is you don't have a lot of that. And I can't stand that. I got to share some of this because what Jesus says to me not only is that he'll give me joy, but he also says he wants me to spread it around. And so that's why I'm doing this. I just think that you ought to know that God really loves you. He really loves you. And he has joy for you. That's why I do that. I got the very eloquent response from him. Huh. And he moved back to his end of the table. I thought, well, God, I gave it a shot. So fast forward. Now I'd walk by him and he'd actually glance at me. Brief eye contact, but huge. Every once in a while I'd get a word. I kept telling him jokes and every once in a while he'd smile like both sides of the mouth smile and then shake his head like, Then he started insulting me, which I thought was a huge day. He's saying, come on, man, you need better material. That's really lame. Yes, now we're talking. And then one day, I'd love to tell you, by the way, that he's now a missionary in China. I'd love to tell you that. He's not. It's not that good a story. But here's how good a God. One day he's telling me, several paragraphs long, telling me about a tragedy in his life. And I said to him, after he'd sort of wound down, so would you like for me to pray about that? Well, not here. I get that. I'm not going to embarrass you. But like when I'm talking to God, would you like for me to pray about that? He said, yeah, probably be good. Dawned on me that could have been the first time in his whole life he'd ever ask anybody to pray for him. I was sent to him. Get that? I had other stuff going on in my life. But part of my life is I was sent to him. So let me repeat the question to you. To whom are you sent? And I've been telling that story. Who's the grumpy old man been around the back of your head? Or grumpy old woman? I know young people that are grumpy too, by the way. I've hung out with kids that are grumpy. Hello? To whom are you sent? Oh, God likes nice people too, by the way. You could be sent to one of them. But the thing of it is, you usually don't have to wrestle with that. It's just cool to be sent to nice people. Hello? It's not cool to be sent to grumpy people. To whom are you sent? So the three questions, I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. I'm going to pray that God would help you to really seriously engage with these questions, and he'd help to clarify them. How are you sent? Where are you sent? To whom are you sent? Let's pray together. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, thank you, God, for sending Jesus into the world to save us. Wow. We're so grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for sending us the Holy Spirit who lives within us and through us and flows through us. Wow. We are grateful. And thank you, God, for sending us. Frankly, we're more comfortable not being sent. We're more comfortable just being connected and gathered and finding a place of peace and rest. But you say we are to be sent. So help us, God, to figure out how it is that you're sending us, where it is you're sending us, and to whom. And we'll do our best to go where you send. We pray this in the name of Jesus. God's people joined together and said, Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.